The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
So you're listening to the KJS Show on Kofifi FM 97.2, and our next guest, you know, is considered one of the most talented jazz singers of the present times. With her powerfully sensitive gospel-filled voice, she is a rising star in the US and world jazz scene. Hunger is a soulful singer who stretches the boundaries of jazz with her multicultural sensibilities whilst masterfully, you know, fusing Slovak folk music with jazz, soul, and gospel music. And she transcends any sort of limitations that the designation jazz sings might put on her. Hunger has also been acknowledged by her mentor, Cassandra Wilson, as the best of the next generation. Chatting to us from New York City this Sunday, Kofifi FM, please help me welcome Hunger G to the KJazz Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Hello.
Hey, hello. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so glad to be over here and share the next minutes with you and the music that I have produced and worked on.
Oh, we look forward to every single moment. But I want us to start in the beginning, Hunger. You know, who is Hunger G? And specifically, when did you fall in love with music?
Yeah, thank you for that. Wow. Well, I am a Slovak jazz, world music, R&B and gospel singer, fusing all these genres. I was born in Slovakia, but when I was a small child, specifically 1 year old, I moved to Mongolia, and I grew up in Mongolian desert with my parents who were professors of geology at that time, and now they're retired. And when I was a little later in my 30s, I actually moved to New York 6 years ago. And on August 16 was my anniversary of 6 years. So I've been kind of celebrating all this month that I have survived in this crazy city.
Crazy it is. And I want us to get into that a bit later. But I'm particularly interested in, you know, your upbringing in Mongolia, you know, and how that shaped your understanding and love for music.
Yeah, you know, since I've been a baby, I always loved music. And I think it's with a lot of the artists, and they would agree with me, we fell in love, or it's given to us, I think, from the divine, or we call it from our ancestors, I think, or the spirits that comes and talk to our spirit as a child. And when I was born, I always loved music. I was listening to everything around me. I was dancing. So it wasn't only singing, it was really dancing and listening to all kinds of music, including Mongolian folklore music, because I was growing up over there. Yeah. I was raised up by a monk over there. That was my babysitter, called that way. And then, you know, there was so many influences of beautiful culture. My dad was an amateur guitar player. So he loved a lot of great music, black music, American music. He used to play Chuck Berry, Aretha Franklin. So he would always bring me LPs, you know, and at that time it was LPs, vinyls, put it that way. Yeah, vinyls. And the only way how we could got it at that time, because we were under communism, you know, in the 80s. And I'm a child of 80s. So when I was born, we still were under communism, and we didn't have a freedom to travel too much or gain access to Western music. So he would usually buy it in Russia. It's funny, you know, because I would have like Whitney Houston record, and it would be written Azbuka in the language, you know, the name. But thanks to him, I listened when I was a child to Whitney. I listened to Dionne Warwick, Stevie Wonder, so all these great artists, and they really left a huge impact on me as a child. And I couldn't speak English at that time, you know, so I was just amazed, and I was dancing. Michael Jackson, of course, you know, big star. So that's how it all started, and it was very, I would say, just innocent, you know, how I also loved classical music. My mom used to listen to classical music on the radio, Chopin, Mozart, Bach. So I would listen to that music too. So it's all these different influences, and that would just make my heart sink, like I say, you know. And then it later developed, you know, I was mainly thinking I would be a dancer, professional dancer. And since I don't come from a professional musician's family, nobody was really paying too much attention to me singing. So I thought, like, okay, well, I don't know if I have a talent or I don't, you know, just singing hours and hours and dancing in my own room to all these great artists. And then I started to dance a little bit more professionally, but singing came a little later.
You know, you tell the story of how during a tour, you know, of Europe, jazz vocalist and your mentor, you know, Cassandra Wilson was introduced to your music. In fact, you even opened for one of her shows in Bratislava. Let's talk about that day.
Yeah, that was really something amazing. And it was very deep spiritually. I felt like I met a spirit from the past when I met her. And at the same time, as a person that I adored, among other great jazz legends and vocalists. But she was very kind and very sweet in her heart, you know, and I don't think that's a feature that she, or characteristic that she opens up to anybody who she meets. So for some reason that really clicked and we became friends, and she really loved my record Essence. And Essence has been my second record that I did in 2014, and this has been a my take on Slovak folk music rearranged to jazz. And through the Essence you could hear a jazz quintet up to sextet of how we basically rearrange the Slovak folk music for the typical jazz setup, but you also hear a setup with the cymbalon band. Cymbalon is a really interesting instrument. It's actually an instrument that most of the gypsy cultures are using, and that's a very traditional folk instrument. And it comes in a setup where there is an cymbalon is the main instrument up front, and then you have a double bass, then you have a violin and a viola. And that's basically the typical setup of a cymbalon band. So I did a couple of tunes in that setup, and then we went into duet with a great pianist, Ondrej Kranja, from my country. Yeah. One of the greatest, actually, pianists in Europe. Those of you who don't know him and maybe want to check out somebody new. So he's been working with me on many, many records, all of the records that that I have released so far. And that caught attention of Cassandra because, you know, she also fuses a lot of different genres. And she, all her life, she told me she struggled a little bit going like the typical jazz mainstream because she would brought different folk elements, even a little bit of a country music, jazz, blues, you know, all that stuff. And she wasn't a typical jazz straight ahead vocalist, if we put it that way, yeah. You know, and so she kind of struggled with the feedback from the typical jazz critics, you know, but of course she's on the top of the list always as the best jazz vocalist. And that's how we met. We just had a really beautiful conversation. She said that the songs, the interpretations on the record really made her cry and very emotional, although she didn't understand the language. Yeah. And she also told me that it's kind of ahead of the time, you know, that it's something new, and a lot of people probably don't understand it yet, or, you know, it doesn't get the attention at that time. I was one of the first people that had been releasing something like that in Slovakia, especially vocally. There were some instrumental attempts before. So that concert that I opened up for her in Slovakia was definitely one to remember. And she even dedicated one song during her set to me, which was Love is Blindness. I remember that. Yeah. It was just really beautiful, like a dream come true. You know, I had to pinch myself that it's real.
I can imagine because I saw her, in fact, 1 year in Cape Town. And mm-hmm. for me, that was a spiritual experience. You know, when you meet music before you meet the human, and when you see the human,
yeah,
there's something moving about that experience. And she performed, the room was dark. It was just her on the stage. Magical, you know, so I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, she's one of the artists that are very raw in the way how they present, you know, the music. It's one of the people that don't play no games, you know what I mean? It's like they really bring the truth out of her interpretation. And sometimes that could be complicated in our commercial world, you know, jazz world. But every time I saw her concert, I had tears in my eyes. It's just like one of those artists that you just listen in awe, you know.
It is in awe. Now, soon after that experience, Hanka, you moved to New York City, you know. That was in 2016. Let's go back to the first day you arrived in New York City.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a great question. I came here. I was so excited. And, you know, I came here later. And maybe that might be an inspiration for people, you know, who, you know, you never know when in your life the opportunity opens up. And it doesn't happen for everybody when they're 20 yeah. years old, you know. Sometimes we live under different circumstances. And I think God always knows very well when he put us under, when we are ready, you know, for certain things. So when I came over here, I left a great career back home locally, you know, or on that local level. I was doing very well. And usually when you come to a foreign country or to New York, all these great stars back home, you just start straight from the scratch, you know. In other words, not a lot of people knows you, so you start basically from the scratch. But I was very fortunate, like I said, having that type of support from Cassandra. I stayed in her house for about a month, which was very kind of her, and we had some nice conversations. And then I really was focused on trying to make it on my own in New York.
And I can see we're love so dangerously. You're not trusting your heart to anyone. You tell me you're gonna play it smart. We're through before we're signed, but I believe that we only just begun. When is this good? There's no say no. I'm ready to go.
Still to be with you.
Love that, love that. Kofifi FM, we're spending time with Hanka G. She is our guest. She is a New York-based Slovakian vocalist. And before the break, you know, we were talking about her experience, her first experience of the city of New York. Now, many of us, Hanka, can only imagine, you know, you arrive, it's in New York. The energy of the city already is infectious, you know, and you arrive to this bustling city, this bustling, you know, energy that has created iconic artists, and the list is too long to name all of them, you know. For you, who were the first people you met who were artists in their own right, and who received you, and who were they to, in a sense, from an artistic perspective, you know, when we talk about you arrived, who were the first people that you worked with, you know, when you arrived in New York City?
You know, New York City could be funny. And the scene, it's like this, first of all, it's different for a female artist when the person arrives to the scene. So you kind of facing a lot of that experience when it's mostly men, you know, in the jazz scene. So they kind of like you as a woman, and you don't know whether they respect you as an artist or not. So it's sometimes kind of challenge. And I find that as a challenge, I really try to establish all my relationships, but it wasn't easy always to be taken seriously as an artist, female artist. However, I met some beautiful people. Among the first people that gave me an opportunity to perform was Anthony Wansley, a great jazz pianist that I worked with. And Anthony has that ability that he could fuse multiple genres, so he would be able to I would be able to spread my wings with him, you know, and perform all the different genres like I like it. And other people that were really beautiful was, of course, Lonnie Plaxico. So Lonnie, I met on the tour with Cassandra. So I joined her actually for one tour, her European tour, where I was helping her more on the managerial side. I was like assistant tour manager and her assistant in a way. And that gave me great opportunity to see, you know, how a star of that caliber travels and performs. And at that time, I met Lonnie over there. So Lonnie was very positive and really sweet. So I worked with him, and that was my first band. And, of course, I met Teru Alexander, a great drummer, who later I've been also romantically involved until now. So he became my partner, and he opened up the doors to a lot of the stuff, you know, to understanding of the jazz community, because he is from a very respected lineage of musicians. You know, his father was Roland Alexander, a great tenor saxophone player, and he grew up among the greatest, you know, like Freddie Hubbard, or when he was a small kid, he was surrounded. His mother was one of the first black models that were wearing natural hair and costumes or designs by Abby Lincoln. Can you believe it?
Wow.
You know, so it's just amazing. And overall, Taru was able to give me a honest picture about what black people went through in United States, yeah, historically, you know, as well as with the, you know, through music and through being able to express themselves.
Oh, love that. Love that. Speaking of artists, you know, you've also opened for Kurt Elling, right? Toured with Rodney Kendrick's trio in South Africa. And also, you performed with Grammy winner David Bowie, bassist David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
What have some of the highlights, you know, of working with these artists? And of course, your experience of our country. I want to know about that too.
Oh, man, I'm going to tell you one thing. I absolutely loved Africa, man. That was like one of the best times in my life when I came to Johannesburg. And it's the minute when I landed. I can't even tell you. First of all, I felt like I've been there already. You know, you have that feeling like I've been there, the motherland. And and then totally. And when all the people were so beautiful to me. It was like this loving, amazing atmosphere, you know, from the moment I landed. And we've been treated on the highest, most beautiful level. I spent over there a weekend. We've been playing on a private event for a philanthropist, a person who loves jazz. And I met over there great artists, and I was just in awe, man, from the poets up to, great jazz artists. I saw Nduzo Makatini. I didn't know him at that time at all. So he was performing over there, then some other American jazz artists. But that experience was very interesting. And I remember performing with Rodney. I met him among other people in New York, other musicians. But specifically at that concert, we did a lot of improvisation. Yes. So we didn't really agree what we're going to play, but he just started to play. We did a beautiful duet, and I was making up the lyrics right there. And it was just, it was really amazing. And like I said, I'll never forget about that fantastic musical experience, but also the experience of the warm, kind, beautiful people in South Africa.
Never lose.
life each and every day, and keep your hands wide open and let the sun shine through, cause you can never lose something if it belongs to you.
The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Let's talk about some of the musicians that you worked with on this project, or maybe even featured on this project.
Yeah, wow, it's a lot. You know, I didn't expect it to do this big, big type of project, but it's just somehow unpacked. You know, I had basically two bands on the project. I had a band led by Shedrick Mitchell. And Shedrick Mitchell, those of you who don't know, he's a multiple Grammy winning artist, pianist, organ player, composer, and arranger, who worked 9 years with Whitney Houston as her personal pianist, who worked with Aretha Franklin, and they played the famous concert in the White House when Barack Obama was president. And he played also with Maxwell, with Diane Reeves, Dee Dee Bridgewater. So overall, an incredible musician. And he arranged three songs on the record for me. One of them is the Whitney Houston tune, All the Men That I Need, which we did in a more of a jazzy R&B-ish version. Then Be Grateful by very famous Walter Hawkins. And Someday We'll All Be Free by Donny Hathaway, that we played in duet. And he put together a really excellent band, David Guignard on the bass. There's Sherrod Barnes on guitars. Sherrod, wow, what a big star in R&B world. Yeah. He played with so many, Beyonce, you know, Whitney. He produced some of the stuff for Beyonce as well. So, and then on drums, Nathaniel Townsley, who worked with Mariah Carey, for example, or other amazing artists. And that's the first band. And then the second band is led by James Hurt, who I believe is like one of the revolutionary pioneers in the music of the 90s, where he was one of the first person who really fused hip hop, R&B with jazz on a Blue Note label, with his record. And he is leading the team of fabulous, mostly jazz musicians, Rashawn Carter on bass from the younger generation. It's Marvin Sewell, famous guitarist who we can hear from Cassandra Wilson's records, right? Then we have Taru Alexander on drums that we mentioned, and we have Anton Rooney as the special guest, the brother of famous trumpet player Wallace Rooney, and we have who else did I forget? And then Rodney Kendrick, of course, that is a guest on one of the songs by Abby Lincoln, Throw It Away. And then I have guests from Slovakia, two great ladies, Veronika Vitesková playing our native instrument called Fujara, and Sisa Michalidesová playing flute, and two great vocalists, Terrell Tipton and Keisha Gams, who are backing a vocalist like Kim Burrell or Diana Ross. So overall, you know, very grateful that everybody could make it, you know, during the terrible times of COVID.
Right. That's right.
You know, when I recorded the record and I thought, what a miserable time, and let's just get out of this time something good, you know.
And we did. You know, I had a conversation with one of, you know, the jazz community's matriarchs, Mamsi, you know, and
yes,
loves Throw It Away by Abby Lincoln. And she says,
thank you.
You have to hear that. You have to hear that song.
Well, I'm so grateful that she had recommended my record to you.
It's amazing. And I've met now the project. And of course, off the project, you reimagine, you know, music from the likes of Whitney Houston. There's Chaka Khan with Through the Wire, you know, Through Fire, I beg your pardon. And then there's also Donny Hathaway, amongst others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about your relationship with the music of Motown and how that has influenced you as an artist.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, so like I said, you know, since I grew up basically partially in Mongolia and Slovakia, but both of these countries were under communism. So we didn't have freedom of speech. We didn't have freedom of travel or anything like that. So that's kind of that's rooted in me. So in a way, and a desire to achieve that, you know. Mm-hmm. So later in my life, I was exposed to Motown when I was about 12 years old. So we had this guest from America, Karen, and Karen Shulak, and she came over to our country to teach English. And at that time, my mother, apart from being a geologist, she had this environmental center as one of the first pioneers in our country, like teaching people, among the other stuff, that when you have a dog, you gotta pick up the poo, you know, after, you know, you walk the dog. But we're laughing at it, but at that time, nobody did it, you know. So being ecological, being mindful of all the environmental issues. And so when she invited her, of course, she brought with her all the different stuff she loved as an American. Yeah. And one of them were tapes of Motown music. So I was exposed to Motown, and I loved it. And it was, I could just remember all the songs. And when I came to US later, everybody was like, how do you know all these tunes? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, like I said, I grew up on them, but it was funny in a way, because like, how could you grow up on them? You know, but it found a way in my life and in my heart, you know. So I absolutely love Motown music. I love Tammy Terrell, who unfortunately her life was cut short, but she recorded beautiful, beautiful duets with Marvin Gaye and a lot of other wonderful artists that were on Motown.
Oh, love it. Coffee FM. Spending time with Hanka G, and she is a vocalist, New York-based vocalist, and she's got a brand new project called Universal Ancestry. And we're talking about that. We're talking about the life in music, her jazz journey, as it were. And we're also exploring bits and pieces of the music to bring it all together this Sunday as we wrap up Women's Month here on Coffee FM 97.2. Now, speaking of Women's Month, Hanka, in South Africa, every August, we celebrate, you know, the women, you know, the contributions of women through various aspects of our society. And specifically on this show, it is women who has shaped, you know, the genre of jazz. You know, some refer to this genre maybe as, you know, male dominated, as you've mentioned in this conversation. So my question to you is, how have you navigated, you know, industry, and what keeps you firmly grounded, you know, and focused as a female artist in the game?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Thank you. I think as I grow older, I was more stronger in, you know, and with the experience going through what I've been through, you know, life-wise, but also musically-wise, I became more stronger in the way how I felt, in a way what I wanted to achieve musically. I believe it's a combination. You really have to wear so many hats in this industry, you know. And apart from being, let's say, a great singer, or you are a lyricist or composer or arranger, I'm producing all my CDs. So it's not easy always to even stand up in front of all these amazing musicians and in a way guide them to be all of us like on one boat, if you know what I mean. So it's a different situation when you are in Slovakia and these are your friends and you know everybody. But with this record specifically, you know, that was one of the challenges. I was afraid, or not afraid, but I was like, wow, how am I going to do this? Like, I have Anton Rooney over there. Those are all like badass cats, you know, I'm gonna put it like it is. Yeah. And I said, how am I going to make sure that I have the outcome that I want and being able to navigate through the folk music, and even say, you know, if I don't like something or I want to change something, you know. So that's not that easy, but luckily, you know, everybody was really beautiful and it just went very well. With, you know, of course there has been some times when it's been challenging, but I think it comes with the maturity of a person. And if you have a clear vision and people feel it, you know, people feel it from that person. And one of the people that inspired me in my career was Betty Carter. We haven't mentioned her name, but Betty was an inspiration from the get-go for me to do the record Essence.
Yeah.
Because when I heard her records and when I saw her performing live on a videotape that I had, I thought to myself, wow, ain't she dare? You know, how dare is she, like, you know, perform like that? How dare she command a band of other musicians and have that power? I was fascinated with that. Mm-hmm. I was fascinated how she played with the melody, how she bended it, twisted it, mm-hmm. and was strong enough to push it when nobody else was doing anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I think Betty was one of the most biggest inspirations for me as well. Apart from, you know, strong vocalists like Abby Lincoln, but hey, look at the Billie Holiday. You know, she stood for what she fighted for, and she was punished all her life. You know, even jailed, mm-hmm. and still didn't stop singing. You know, and was kind of a jazz martyr, let's put it that way.
That's right.
So all these great women, you know, and you know, women. I'm pretty sure women in South Africa, there's so many beautiful women. I met Tandiswa Mazwai. I hope I'm pronouncing that her name well. She was singing in Harlem, and wow, what a vocalist. What a incredible singer, you know. Wow, just something amazing. And overall, a beautiful person as well. And that's, you know, that just reflects in her singing. Then I met Tandi, and maybe you'll help me, the pianist. Yeah, she is also incredible. One of my best friends in New York are Melanie Schultz, you know, as well, a great artist. So there are a lot of great women, and I see especially women of color, you know, who are incredibly, incredibly successful and are just worth of having a little bit more exposure, I'll put it that way.
Absolutely. And we try by all means, you know, on this show to give them that exposure. And, you know, we're running out of time and this conversation is so fantastic.
Thank you.
The copies of the album, how do we get them? You know, how do we access the music? I know it is officially available online, you know, through Bandcamp and streaming services. But, you know, how do we get in touch with you? How do we get the physical copies of the album? Plug us in.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you can absolutely request a CD directly from me, and I'm happy to sign it and send it over, like I did to Mamsi, for example. So you can write me through my website, which is hankag.com, hankag.com, or through the Bandcamp, where is my latest release. But I think you should be also able to order it through Amazon, if I'm not mistaken, a physical copy. So that's a possibility. But that wouldn't be a signed copy. So if you want a signed copy, you got to contact me directly. And I'll be very glad to do that.
Hanka, thank you so much for chatting to us here on Kofifi FM 97.2. And we wish you all the best, you know, with the project. And looking forward to the Johannesburg leg of the tour.
Yes, yes.
From our lips to the universe, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you so much again for joining us this afternoon, and have yourself a fantastic, fantastic week ahead.
Thank you so much, and thanks everybody for listening. I love you, and I hope we'll meet one day at another gig.
We look forward to it. Hanka G on the KJS Show.
Can't help but love you as you are.